Chagra, I guess the big story today is that Oscar Klefbom is going to have surgery here in the coming few weeks, someday between the 20th and the 25th. So my question is, regardless of what the surgery outcome is, do you think the Oilers are protecting him in the expansion draft?
Oy, oy, oy. That's a good question. I mean, does he provide you, like, you have to hit a certain number of criteria that you need for players that you make available. So by making him available, does it allow you to, you know, does it check a box for you? Or because he didn't play enough games this year, does
no,
that...
he would qualify. He's played enough games because they've lowered that number over the last 2 years to 55.
Yeah.
And so he's played enough games that him and Chris Russell would both qualify as the veteran.
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably... So, okay, so just let's run through the timing on this. So it was surgeries in March, sometime towards the end of March here. And then when do you have to make your decision on protection? Probably, when's the expansion draft? Like, it's June, late June kind of thing, is it not? The expansion
draft? July 17th. July 17th.
Is the expansion draft? So
yes.
If you're having surgery in March, you'll have a pretty darn good idea by early July what it looks like. I think they'll be making a very informed decision at the time. So they'll know how he is. They'll know if he has intentions of coming back. They'll know. They'll have a lot of answers before they need to make that decision. So I don't think it'll need to be as ambiguous as it feels like it is trying to predict it today. Do you?
Well, it'd be 3 months after, kind of, right? Because let's say end of March, it's April, May, June. So you have three and a half months. And then I guess my thought would be, you know, what are the odds of it returning? Or of it not doing as good a job? Like, I think if I'm Seattle, you know, do I want to take a player that has, you know, he's a good player. There's no doubt about it. And on a pretty good cap hit. Or would I bypass that to take a younger player? I know kind of what I'm getting in this player, at least health-wise. Like that, I think it's, I really look at more from the Seattle side of the equation, Shocker, more than maybe the Oilers side.
Yeah, like Seattle is going to need to hit the ground running with all of their assets in place and ready to go, are they not? I mean, are they going to take a guy that's got another multiple months away from being ready and then you're not sure? Because, so surgery's in March, so based on what we know about these surgeries, guys, when's Oscar Klefbom ready to play in an NHL game? What do we think it is? 6 months usually? Is that generally what we're saying?
It's not like a torn labrum.
See, this one's difficult because it's arthritic, right? So I sent a text out. I haven't got a concrete answer yet on what would be a timeline for that.
Well, let's say it's like a lot of shoulder injuries and surgeries, and let's call it a 5 months,
sure.
Or say five, okay. Whatever you want to say. So you're April, May, June, July, August, regular season in October-ish. Yeah, I mean, if it's going well and, you know, let's say they have the surgery in March and word comes around at the end of May that Klefbom is feeling great, back on ice, starting the beginning stages of skating again. Well, you know, that's meaningful. So I think there's a lot that can happen between now and when any decisions have to be made. And if he's potentially available for close to the start of next season, then, yeah. I mean, imagine, like, he's valuable. And I don't know what percentage he'd be able to come back at if he came back, you know, compared to where he was before after a year off. But there's some value there. We see it. The Oilers at that left spot, you know, in their second pairing right now. You know, imagine what this decor would look like if they had a guy like Klefbom sitting there. So, I don't know.
I think the question isn't whether or not he's skating in May. The question is how many games can he play? I think that's to me is because if you're, and this is just a pure business thing. Obviously, the number one criteria is can he live a normal life? And hopefully, as you know, he talked about earlier, be able to pick up his kids in the future, stuff like that. That's priority number one for him. But if I'm looking at it from a business transaction from the Edmonton Oilers and I'm looking at it and say, okay, if we protect Klefbom, that means we have to potentially lose Caleb Jones. Are we willing to do that if Klefbom all of a sudden plays 25 games and it comes back? And because this is not like a torn ACL where they repair it in 99% of the time, you're fine, right? Like I think there's a lot more to it than just can Oscar Klefbom open the season. It's more so can Oscar Klefbom play a full season.
So you're thinking based on, but is he medically cleared to play at the time? And what are the rules around exposing a player who maybe isn't medically cleared at that time? And who, at the time of the expansion draft, wouldn't be ready to go?
No, that's irrelevant. The only guys who get exemptions, and the last expansion draft, there were 16 players. I looked it up. 16 mm-hmm. players who got exemption from this, none of them played another NHL game. You have to be, to order to get exempt, it's not if you've recovered from surgery or not. It's whether or not the doctors deem you and everybody that your career is potentially career-threatening injury. Mm-hmm. So if they think Klefbom can play again, then he'll automatically have to be, he'll have to either be protected or exposed. It's going to be one. So unless the doctor's note says, well, we went in, we scraped it out. And honestly, man, I don't know if it's going to be any better because Klefbom, as he said himself, he would feel good for months. And then 5 months into the season, it would start to really bother him because it would just get worn down. So yeah. I'm not sure if the doctor's going to know, be able to say that accurately, or the orders are going to say accurately. Will we know this time? The Klefbom is going to be able to finish a whole season and, you know, and just needs the off season every year to recover.
Yeah. Boy, there's a lot to happen between now and then. You know, Klefbom has some decisions to make, some soul searching to do. He needs to get this surgery. He needs to see how he feels. He needs to, you know, we don't know where his headspace is right now, having stepped away from the game for as long as he has now, you know, where his head is at, where his heart is at. If he's sitting there feeling like, yeah, I needed this year, but man, I really want to play still. We don't know where a lot of those things sit. And so he's a motivated guy, and if he's got it in him to push his way through this injury and push his way through this surgery and rehab and get back and play, you know, I think we've all seen he has the ability to do it. So there's a lot to be decided between now and then, and it starts with Oscar Klefbom making some decisions about where his life and his career are going to go here. So I think it's tough for the Oilers to kind of to figure out what it looks like until they have some firm answers from Klefbom, and he's a number of months away from being able to give them anything close to a firm answer.
Joined by Ryan Rashog, well-known adventurer and adventure seeker from TSN. Shogger, you know, I often get accused of being too patient, and I feel that this year with the Edmonton Oilers, they have a good team. But, you know, there are some couple of holes they might want to fill, which is the left wing, and that I don't know that the goalie is, you know, up to a Hellebuck type of player. Maybe when Anderson's playing well, that type of guy, or Markstrom. So my idea is this year for Kenny Holland to be very, very, very patient on making any kind of trades that would maybe move out another pick or, you know, things like that. How do you see this evolving between now and, what's the trade deadline, April 10th or something, April 12th?
Oh, good question. That's a really good question.
Because I'm not saying they're a bad team. Like, don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But can you upgrade it enough to fill the holes to compete, like with the Jets in a seven-game series? You know, with their goaltending and their top six and a D who's somewhat comparable to the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah. Okay, so, and I asked Ken Holland this question today about all the assets they moved out last year and if he's in a position to be as aggressive this year with moving picks and assets and such. And he talked his way around it. You know, basically they're not looking to shore up any of their depth. We're not going to see, you know, third pairing guys, and we're not going to see depth guys. They feel they have enough. The way that I see this potentially working in finding a trade at the deadline is if they trade for a player who has some contract left, who's under contract for next year, that fits, like, let's say in their top six at forward. And basically what it does is it kind of puts the writing on the wall in the Nugent Hopkins situation or the Barry situation, right? So you bring a guy in that's going to occupy the cap space that one of either Nugent Hopkins or Barry would next year. And so you use that first-round pick to bring in a piece that you're going to have for a few years, upgrades you in the moment, allows you to keep Nugent Hopkins as your own rental or Barry as your own rental, and then maybe only be able to address one of those two things. But the problem is it's got to be money out the other way. So now you're spending more to get the other team to eat salary or however that transaction works. So from what I gathered from Ken Holland today, if there's a hockey trade that's there to be made that they can make the money make sense, that makes them better right away, I would say that they'll do it, but I don't think it'll be a rental. It'll be someone with contract.
And I think that the thing they have to address, and I've been quite positive on this group of players, but they don't have a long-term solution in the pipes. Like, Mike Smith's playing well. You know, he's not getting any younger. Mikko Koskinen has one more year in his contract. So they'll need to address, because I don't see anything internally right now as a long-term solution with the goaltenders.
Right.
And if you want to get the guy who maybe fits the age group of your top players, you're probably not going to get in the free agent market. So maybe you save that pick or that prospect, or pick and prospect, whatever, for that guy that addresses that, and you say, okay, this is our guy. We now have our guy. We have our top goalie. We have our top two centermen. We have our, you know, Darnell Nurse, who's taken a step. We've got, you know, yada, 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 whatever. And these young prospects coming. That, to me, is a longer-term solution than just adjusting for one, you know, okay, we got this guy for two playoff runs. Well, great. Well, we still have to go find a goalie this summer.
Right. Well, okay, so the idea of spending a high draft pick and a prospect on a goalie, say, or trying to find a goalie, the problem with goaltending is it's kind of voodoo. We always make that joke. So if you're spending those assets, you want to be pretty darn sure. And I'm just not sure who the guy is that's out there available via trade who's that good a goalie that you can guarantee you're going to get real good value for these super high-end assets that you'd be looking to move. Like, who do you go get for those that you know is going to be that much better than whoever you might be able to sign or overpay a little bit in free agency to make sure you get a really, really good guy? Like, I don't know. I would be less inclined to spend assets on goaltending and more inclined to just spend money trying to find the right guy. Because it's just, you never know. You just never know how it's going to go. Teams that have gone, you know, unless it's just a sure bet, you know, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, Strutty, but, like, I think that Koskinen and Smith, I think that Dave Tippett is going to feel confident enough to go with Koskinen and Smith through the playoffs. I don't think he's going to be saying that they need help in net and that there's going to be a goaltender brought in at the deadline. I could see them sticking with what they've got and just trying to supplement to their lineup and hanging on to their rentals, and that would be sort of their run, the way they would take a run at it. Not to subtract at all, to hang on to their rentals and see if they can upgrade in their top six on the left wing in particular.
Shaga, when you look at this whole situation with this taxi squad, and it's much different than normal years where there's just healthy scratches. So it's like a second layer. It's like a deeper layer of, you know, inception of you go from playing to healthy scratch, now taxi squad. Do you think that this has affected, that taxi squad specifically, affected the way players view not maybe being in the lineup, and how it maybe pushes them to be more consistent, if you would, in their play?
Well, I think taxi land is, I don't think anybody wants to be there. I think that guys that have been there and spent a lot of time there don't want to go back. But I think the message that's been sent is it's not purgatory. You're not just gone and forgotten forever. Not for all the guys anyways. There's some good success stories off the taxi squad this year. So, you know, I've watched a lot of their practices, their taxi squad practices, and it's interesting the way they're handling it. You know, they're trying to keep it upbeat, but they're working these guys really hard, and they're trying to keep them sharp. Much different level of sharpness that they're able to achieve when you've got six or seven guys skating, as opposed to just two scratches or three scratches. Then you got another goalie that really wants to get a good workout in. So I think that they've done a pretty good job. But for sure, it's incentive for these guys not to want to, you know, come out of the lineup, because you can get lost on that taxi squad with two, three other guys all fighting for your place at the table. I think they've done a pretty good job on this team of using it as an incentive, but not making it feel like you are just dead to the world. Unless you're Nygaard, and then it's, but I mean, even he has to be looking at Patrick Russell going, okay, I'm going to get that shot at some point. And when I do, I need to be ready to go. You know, like Russell was on there for a real long time, and now he's getting his look. So I think Tippett's done a good job of trying to keep most of them engaged.
Well, Shagar, we got this from a physical therapist. The kind of surgery for cleft bomb, they could technically go in and just clean out the shoulder joint. If there's loose bodies or fragments sitting in there, recovery time could be significantly less if he opts for a total shoulder replacement instead. If he opts for the total shoulder replacement, could expect 6 months minimum with improvements still happening for up to 2 years from the physical therapist.
Yeah, there you go. And so, again, he probably has some decisions to make about the type of surgery to have, and that decision will affect what his career looks like moving forward. Hey, maybe they'll know by the time he chooses the surgery, and it's we should have asked Holland today, or we should have tried to figure out what a follow up scenario will look like. But we'll get that answer here in the coming weeks. First and foremost, you just want him to feel okay and feel good about his health and his life. And if there's hockey in his future, he can be valuable. And I think what you're going to see from Ken Holland is he's just going to be patient with this situation, let it play out, and I just think that's what a veteran GM will do. There's really no way to get ahead of this thing.
Shagar, have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Good to talk to you, Stretty.